Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. It's very good to be with you on this Thursday edition of my program. This morning, I'm only with you for a short time, and I did that deliberately. I want to push aside the subject of politics. That's important, but I want to focus in this morning on people with broken hearts that need to find hope and healing in Jesus. The basis of my program is about human rights, and it is about biblical teaching and politics. And this morning, I want to focus in on ministering to you, the listener, that may be going through very dark trials and finding themselves in hopeless situations. I'm going to talk about that theme in just a minute, but I want to reemphasize what my program is all about. And I'm reading this morning from my book, The Cross in the Desert. And this is the introduction to the book, which really sums up what I try to accomplish on my program and in my writings. I love to paint with words. I want the reader to feel and taste what I write. I want to draw my readers into another world where they can explore and imagine with all of their senses. The image of a dry, hot, treacherous desert with sweltering, unbearable heat is the perfect way for me to introduce the cool and refreshing rivers of living waters for the desperate traveler who is dying of thirst. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 63, verse 1. The imagery of this psalm introduces the weary traveler who is longing for the presence of God. The traveler is desperately searching, zealously desiring to reconnect with his God. He realizes that his life is empty without the presence of God. The traveler is suffering from despair and crying out with his whole being for relief. All of us can relate to this desperate condition. I chose this name for my blogs and my radio program to paint a picture, to entice and draw the readers out of their mundane existence and give them a longing for finding their purpose and fulfillment in life. Sometimes our life seems meaningless and empty and without purpose. We feel like we're trapped under the scorching heat of a desert and longing for a new beginning. In the midst of our desperation, the God of the Bible reaches down and offers us relief and refreshment. He pours out his irresistible love and rejuvenates our souls. He takes us from the barren, scorching heat of the dry and treacherous desert and rejuvenates us with streams of living water. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John chapter 6, verse 35. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. John chapter 7, verse 38. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the river and the water of life. Revelation chapter 2, 22, verse 17. Jesus promises to quench our spiritual thirst. He offers us himself in all of his splendor, glory, love, and compassion. Our longings are satisfied by his irresistible love. When we plunge into the rivers of his love, we are healed, we are forgiven, and all of our guilt and shame is washed away forever. Jesus truly is the cross in the desert, a reservoir of living hope. This morning, really about one of the most powerful and favorite verses of mine found in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 in the New Living Translation declares, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Brokenness is the means through which God performs some of his deepest work with our hearts. The great Christian mystic, theologian, and writer A.W. Tozer once said, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible individual and crushes him. That seems to be the divine pattern. Jesus taught in John chapter 12, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The hard outer shell of the seed must be broken so that the life of the Spirit can come through. And what that means is this: God can deconstruct ourselves so that life's priorities, focus, and passions are redirected to him alone, the true source of life. What that means is that when we are the most crushed, we are the most useful in the divine surgeon's hands. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescued those whose spirits are crushed. I have a great friend. I've known him for 28 years or more. His name is George. And at one time, he was an engineer here in St. Louis. And him and his wife, Teresa, we used to get together all the time and have Bible studies. We'd go out on the streets and minister and teach and preach. We had a great friendship. And then one day, a few years later, I think in 1991, he was laid off from his job and had to go back to his home in Pittsburgh. And we kept in touch, but not as much. And as time went on, we kind of lost sight with each other. Just a few days ago, his son, Michael, sent me a Facebook message and said, "Please call my father. He is broken. My mother, his wife, she coded twice. Her heart stopped. And it took over 10 minutes for them to resuscitate her. And because of that, with that time lapse, her brain was deprived of precious oxygen. And she suffered severe brain damage. Randy, please call my dad. My mom, for all practical purposes, is dead." And so I called and reconnected with George, with him, prayed with him. He was broken and crushed. He said he was going to talk to the neurosurgeon, to a neurologist, and get the bottom line to Teresa's condition. The next day, both him and Michael and his family heard the words and the news they didn't want to believe and hear. "Your mother will never recover. There is no hope for her." In their brokenness, they made a decision that I hope that none of us ever have to make in our lifetime. They chose to let Teresa go home and be with the Lord by removing the resuscitator. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those that are crushed in spirit. Jesus spent all of his ministry showing love and compassion to the hurting, to the hopeless, to those in despair. He gave hope to the woman with the issue of blood who had tried every physician, but no one seemed to be able to resolve her physical condition. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, her blood was restored. Her problem was healed. To the man who had a son that was demon-possessed and had tried everything, and this spirit had caused his son to go into convulsions, and he was broken, he came to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, help my doubts." And his son was restored. To the woman caught in adultery and the religious leaders who said to Jesus, "The law of Moses says we should stone this woman. What do you say we should do?" And Jesus knew their hearts. They weren't interested in the law of God. They were trying to trap him and to declare that he's a false prophet if he doesn't obey the law of Moses. And if he does let this woman decide to have this woman stoned, then he's really not merciful and compassionate. And Jesus stood up in defense of this woman and said, "He who was without sin, let him cast first stone." This crowd of religious leaders and accusers walked away. And Jesus looked down at the broken woman who was just a few moments away from death and said to her, "Where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He gave hope to the woman caught in adultery. He gave hope to the man whose son was demon-possessed. He gave hope to the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus is hope and healing, brokenhearted. My friend George said to me just the other day, I will miss her so much. But we have this promise that our loved ones are with the Lord forever, and one day we will see them. But right now, my friend is broken. Because to lose a loved one is the ultimate crushing in our soul. But you see, God wants us to be in that place because he can do his deepest work in us, because we are humbled by our circumstances and dependent on him. And he wants us to come to him. He is near to the brokenhearted. I think of my Muslim friends a lot. I pray for them. They are so determined through their fasting and praying and their good works to be near to Allah, to be one that is favored by Allah. But their deity is so far removed from them. And they have a hopelessness in their heart. What can I do to please him? The Bible says, the Lord is near, not far away. He is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. He gives hope to the hopeless. He gives life's meaning and purpose for the seeker. He is the balm of Gilead for the broken spirit. That diamond in the rough that has to be crushed, that sea glass found on the beach that has to be shaped and formed, that silver in the refiner's fire by the craftsman that has to be shaped and molded, can only look good and bright and beautiful after much affliction. The diamond in the rough has to be pounded down before it shines brightly. The silver in the refiner's fire has to be shaped and molded. And at the end of the day, we know that the refiner's silver is done when the person who did the molding and shaping can see the reflection of himself in the silver. And when God sees his reflection in our wounded spirit, we're healed. Job was afflicted mightily in the Bible, but he had the hope that one day he would shine like gold again after much suffering and much brokenness. Instead of being filled with despair, when we are brokenhearted and at the very end of our ways, we should rejoice in hope that our God is going to do, is about to do his greatest work in our soul and spirit, in our brokenness. Because in our brokenness, when we are at the end of ourselves, we gaze to heaven, where our hope comes from. We don't look to ourselves for any solution. We don't look to others to solutions. We look to the one who has promised to be near to the brokenhearted, who says he saves the crushed in spirit. And when our focus is heavenward, when our focus is on him instead of ourselves, our problems, our circumstances, when our focus is on the divine surgeon and him alone does his greatest work in our souls. When we are empty and broken, he fills us once again. This is so true. He wants to do that for you this morning. He wants to fill your brokenness with his presence. He wants to come in a very, very special way and to fill you. Earth to heaven, The psalmist writes, to hear the groans of the prisoners, to release those condemned to die. Psalm 102:20. Psalm 142:7 is our cry, bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. This is what our God wants to do in our hearts today. He wants to fill us with himself. He wants to give us hope again. He wants to free us from ourselves so he can fill us with himself. If you are a person today in total despair and brokenness, know this, that Jesus is the hope and the healing for your broken heart. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're lost, he is the way. If your life is in despair, he is the life. If you are crying out for truth and meaning, he is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, he wants to come and throw his arms of love around you. He wants to give you his love and compassion in a unique way. You are that grain, that seed that falls into the ground, that must be broken, that must die first. But then it is going to sprout forth. It is going to bring forth a harvest. That little seed is going to grow and live again. But first it has to die. First it has to be crushed. And first it has to be broken. Seed. Pounded down, crushed with the circumstances of life, and in the darkness and despair of our problems and trials, Jesus shines the light and the rays of his hope and causes that broken, crushed seed that was once dead to sprout forth and to grow again, bigger and better than before. But first, there is that brokenness. And first, there is that despair. This morning, I'm asking you to turn to the one who can give you healing and hope. And that is Jesus. And Jesus is the light in your darkened world, in your darkened existence. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is inviting you to come to him so that he can shine the light of his truth, the light of his glory, and the light of his healing in your darkened world of despair. He will do it when you come to him. And this morning, we have taken this little verse, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And we have made it a promise for you. This is a promise. Jesus will bring you himself, his healing, into your world of despair. This morning, I want to end with a song that will give you hope and healing in your brokenness. And this is a beautiful song of ministry. This is Wayne Watson, Friend of a Wounded Heart. God bless you. I will see you very soon again on the cross in the desert. But please listen to this song as Jesus gives hope and healing to your broken heart.
Things are fine. And you found him there.